And in Jeremiah chapter 23, as we're looking and seeing Jeremiah's continuous ministry over the years, and each time the people get hotter, the area, the atmosphere gets darker and more dangerous. And the prophets, chapter 23, and you'll notice in verse 11, both prophets and priests are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. So the subject in chapter 23, as we moved along, emphasizes and is centered in looking at the prophets and the priests, because the people are listening. The people led, everyone's led, countries are led, groups are led, and they're led, and they're following, and the people, and they're going in the wrong direction. And instead of getting more conscious of things, they are becoming harder, and their conscience is like 1 Timothy 4. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron, and they don't pay attention to it. So now, here we are looking, and in the process we share together. Verse 18, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, who hath perceived and heard his word, who hath marked his word and heard it? That's two questions that are not answered. They're left questions, and there's no one to answer them, because none of it, they never did any of that. They never stood before God. They never heard his word. They don't know what God said. They have no relationship to God. So when you come down to verse 19, in the light of that, behold, God's they're condemned, judged over and over again, and here they are again, judged. And in the process, verse 19, behold, pay attention, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. So here is a storm, a great tempest storm, a whirlwind. Think of a tornado, like that kind of thing. A great hurricane, the eye of the hurricane moving. So here's the people, Israel, and they are unchanged, and God is sending a whirlwind. He's going to use a whirlwind figure to help them understand, as we'll see in a minute. And it's gone forth in fury or wrath, and it's a grievous, very burdensome whirlwind upon the head, and to burst upon the head of the wicked. In other words, the storm is going to fall on top of them, as it were. Here they are standing there, and the storm is going to come right down on top of them, as it were. Grievous whirlwind. Now, having said that little bit, now, looking at that, God help us a little bit, understanding this business, you use something. Did they understand whirlwind? Was it a figure of speech that wouldn't connect? People use things, they don't understand them, so what's the sense in saying them? All right, God, is that true in this case? No. No, not at all. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 1. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, and you will remember, a whirlwind's coming. So I want to understand, do they understand the terminology that a whirlwind's coming? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 13. And the word of the Lord came unto me a second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething boiling pot, boiling water, and the face thereof is to the north. So looking, here comes boiling water. Here's the pot looking northward, and it isn't calm at all. It's boiling. Now, then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. No one's accepted. No one's left out. Verse 15. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdom of the north, saith the Lord. They shall come. They shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, against all the walls thereof, and around about, and against all the cities of Judah. Verse 16, and I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, over to chapter 4. And again, God is going to say it over and over, so that, you know, coming out of the north is going to come a great storm. And now, so chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 6. Set up a standard toward Zion, Jerusalem. Retire, say not. In other words, get out of there. Retire. Don't stay here. Get out of the city. Retire, retire, stay not, don't hang around. For, why? I will bring evil, where? From the north, and a great destruction. So I want you to get out of there fast, because it's not going to come out good at all. And therefore, chapter 6. Thank you. In chapter 6 and in verse 1. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up the sign of fire in Beth-hay-Rekem. For evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. So, God, you keep saying it. Verse 22, chapter 6, verse 22. Thus saith the Lord, behold, the people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. So God, you're calling, allowing the heart of the unsaved to go against Jerusalem, and you are making that, allowing that to happen. Chapter 10, and you get the idea of it. They certainly knew. Chapter 10, and picking up in verse 22, 10 and 22. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate, and a den of dragons, animals, wild animals, etc. Out of the north, out of the north, out of the north. So there's no question, a whirlwind is coming. A great storm is coming, and they've been told it over and over again. Ezekiel 597, he was in the middle, 1, 2, 3, Nebuchadnezzar 605, 597, 586. And Ezekiel is taken captive to Babylon. But here he's there, but here's Jerusalem, but he's prophesying, he's the prophet. Over, if you would, to Ezekiel, and in chapter 1. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, remember we did that, all the wonderful chapters. Ezekiel chapter 1, and may I pick up, please, verse 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. So God, where's it? Terrible, terrible storm, a fire storm, gonna burn up the city, actually, when they get there. So now, it's a storm. Now, before we take a little more there, go over with me to chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13. Now remember, the problem is that Jerusalem has got all tied up in idolatry, and all the while they're in idolatry, they're claiming the Lord said this, the Lord will do that. You can be encouraged, be at peace, there is no famine, there is no sword, there's no danger, there's no whirlwind, there's nothing. Nothing. And that's what they were doing. So they were associating God with idols. Not just idols, but associating God with idols. Now, so here in chapter 13, picking up in verse 11. Say unto them which have dubbed it with mortar, untempered mortar, that it shall fall. And there shall be an overflowing shower, and yea, a great hailstorms shall fall, and a stormy wind. That's the little word, two words, stormy wind / whirlwind. It's a whirlwind. Stormy wind shall rent it. So here we are. And lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the dubbing therewith you have dubbed it? In other words, that's sort of appropriate, trying to build the wall, we are. And here's the wall, and they're building the wall, and here's the wall that we're protected by the wall. Everyone wants to be protected. They want to be protected from the enemy, from danger, and the wall. But the trouble is, what they have put up is an attitude, is an understanding that they're looking, their information, their understanding, their suggestions of the future are safe, like a wall, but it's an untempered wall, and it's dubbed. It got lousy cement in it, and etc., using cement, lime, mortar, blacktop, etc. Now, in the process, therefore, verse 13, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rent it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. Wow. Now, God, you're going to do all of that, yes, in the process. Verse 14, so will I break down the wall which you have dubbed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall. In other words, you're going to bring it down to the base. You never put anything to hold the wall up. And it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 15. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have dubbed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither shall they that dubbed it. The builders of it, the instigators of the whole thing, are going to be gone. Verse 16, to wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied concerning Jerusalem, which sent visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Verse 17, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. So the ladies were speaking, everyone was joining in, the women were all echoing the philosophy and the intent, that's what we're all doing, cheering and getting everyone up, all riled up. And all of them are going to be judged. Now, God said the whole thing, everyone connected, is going to pay. Now, back over to Ezekiel chapter 1. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, you would recall the vision. And as you do it with all the angels and the seraphim and everything there, and everything is dynamic, wonderfully, wonderfully moving. There's nothing. Everything, just think of the, in the front of the throne, around the throne, is a sea of glass. Hang on to that one. A sea of glass, quiet. And, but everything is in motion. Actually, right now, if we could ever, we don't see it or understand it, your whole body is wonderfully, wonderfully in motion. We have no idea. Is that true? Your blood flow, your lungs, everything is all working fast, not slow. I mean fast. Goes from here to here and back up all over the place, covering every cell. Wow. And the room is full of all kinds of life. What's still? Everything is in dynamic movement. That's God. Everything is. God is alive, wonderfully alive, real. God. And so God, how are you going to describe yourself to Ezekiel looking at down there, and there's Jeremiah over in Jerusalem, looking out there, and Ezekiel says the city's going to go. Nebuchadnezzar's going to burn the city down, destroy it and the temple. And Ezekiel's looking. Now, God, how did you encourage him? Because it all's so dark. Where do we look to find a little hope, a little help? Looking around in the world, looking around in your job, your home, your school, health, your wealth, everything. Looking out, where am I going to find it? Dark. Ah. Now, Ezekiel 1, in the midst of all of that dynamic, verse 25. And there was a voice from the firmament. Firmament is a great arched, think of an arch, the arch, firmament, way up, here's a big arch, but in appearance, it's solid. It's a solid. It's there. It looks like it's solid. Wow, a big arch. And it was over their heads when they stood, and head let their wings down, and had let their wings down. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above and upon it. God, what are you doing? God, are you gone? No. Do you see everything? Wow. And this up there, what are you, a throne. What did Jeremiah, opposite Isaiah chapter 6, how did you encourage Isaiah during Jeremiah, Israel? God, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, King Isaiah died, and he looked, and God's throne, just his robe, filled the universe. the atmosphere, etc. Wow. Wow, the throne is encompassing, but to Ezekiel, it's just a little thing up there. Now, God, did you disappear? No. See the throne. Pay attention to the throne. When you can't see anything, make sure you find me. Don't lose me. Don't lose me. Don't lose the throne. Now, hang on to that. We said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind in the light of the darkness and all of that, and you know without turning there, Psalm 18, 11 and that, he made darkness his secret place. And we're going to do that someday. God, darkness, you use darkness. I do, said God. Boy, it's dark. God said, I use it. That's where I hide. In me, there is no darkness. 1 John 1, 5. In God, God is light. And in him is what? No darkness. No darkness.
Ah, but I use it.
Now, hang on. In the light of all of that. Now, going, if you can, keeping that in mind, to Psalm, well, we'll do that one first. Psalm 23. In Psalm 23. And picking up, if I can, in Psalm 23. And having, keeping in mind the darkness, And David, in David's day, you know verse 4 directly, 23:4, you know it. Yea, though I walk, I am walking through, I'm actually moving in through the valley of the shadow of death. And that particular little term has to do with intense darkness. Not just dark, thick darkness. Intense darkness. You feel it. You feel the darkness. Wow. Where are you walking, David? I'm in the darkness. But, I will not fear. I will fear no evil. Why not? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So, David, you're in the darkness. Israel's in the darkness, but they don't have God. Jeremiah's in the darkness. David's in the darkness. Ezekiel's in the darkness. But they have an advantage, a wonderful, wonderful advantage because of God's wonderful person. And the whirlwind, the storm, the stormy wind that blows and does what it does in its awesome way, has no problem. No problem. No, the storm, hang on, the storm is no problem. That's how you, God, you're trying to say there's judgment and the weather, you know, the Job, all the things, I make all of that happen. Now, in order to get that a little better, over to Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah is 100 and something years before Jeremiah comes. So they had 100 years plus to think about things. And so here's Isaiah, chapter 29. And in chapter 29... God, you're looking at the fall. What, chapter 29 is anticipating, 100 years from now, the fall of Jerusalem. And therefore, Isaiah is speaking not just to the 10 tribes in the north. He's speaking ahead to the people in Jerusalem that are down there, that they're going to, if they don't learn anything, the future is not very bright. It's awful dark. Therefore, here's Psalm 29, Isaiah 29. Picking up, please, in chapter 29, 6. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise and with storm and tempest. With storm and tempest is the word you're looking at. And the flame of devouring fire. Wow, he's going to burn the city. And boy, if you have any question that God was telling him, it's going to happen, jumping ahead, it does happen. Now, what are you going to do when it really happens? You didn't believe it, but it's really going to happen. Wow. Now, hang on to that. It's ahead. Now, here we are. We want to get this one. In the light of that, chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And you would recall, chapter 40, Isaiah, and picking up the thought, this is now in the light. We looked at the fall of Jerusalem, and here we are looking, and God's dealing with the gods, the idols and everything. Chapter 40 and 24. Yea, they shall not be planted, Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. And there's your little word, whirlwind. What are you going to do, God? Well, I'm going to go look over, if you would, verse 21, little context. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle. Remember the earth? If you ever remember the flat earth way back 100 years, 1,000 years ago, flat earth, and all they had to do is read the Bible. The earth is a circle, not flat. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. So that's why you got to think of 2 trillion plus galaxies, not stars, 2 trillion that they think that are there. And pretty soon it'll be 4 trillion that they think. And that's just this. God just did that. Span. He put his finger out. 2 trillion. Trillions. Trillion. God said, I did that. Just like that. Wow. Now, hang on. Thus, God, to whom will you liken me? Or what? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? God, there's no one like you. So God, you're going to go and judge, and no one's paying attention to your magnificence or your ability or your power. Chapter 41. And in chapter 41 again, here's the... The gods and the God versus the God, gods, God versus the idols. And verse 16, thus thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. God, you're going to go and do a wonderful thing for Israel, and you're going to have to go, all the idols are going to go though. And God, you're going to do it in your wonderful, magnificent way. And you're using the storm, the whirlwind, the earthquake, everything. You're trying to help them understand. So God, here we are, looking at all of those things. Now, if you would keep in mind, over to in the light of the time. Over to Jonah. The book of Jonah, a short book, but a good book. And in Jonah chapter 1, God, you do a wonderful thing for the world, and you do it in your most wonderful way. So here is Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind. Remember, Jonah's going in the wrong direction. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest, there's your word, whirlwind, in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. He was getting transport away from Nineveh, and in the process, God sent a storm, and the ship was in danger of not doing very good at all. Sinking, in fact. Now, therefore, verse 11. Then said they unto him, "What shall they want to know the storm?" Weren't they used to storms? They sail all the time. The storm is different. And when God brings the storm, and he wants to identify himself, he does so in a wonderful way. And when God's behind it, you can know all the weather come and go, and the jet stream moves and everything, and it comes and goes. But when God's in it, it has some ingredients that mark it as different. And here, the men knew, something's wrong. This isn't normal, this storm. And therefore, verse 11, then said they unto him, Jonah, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may become unto us. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. There's a whirlwind. Now they knew enough to ask Jonah, Jonah, since you seem to be sitting there sleeping, looking out, and you don't care that we're going to sink. And Jonah said, nope, I don't care that we're going to sink at all, long as we don't go to Nineveh. And yeah, well, that was fine. Well, then they said, well, what is it about you? Now, Jonah is a mocked man. He's God's man. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, therefore, 12, he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, and so shall the sea become unto you. For I know that for my sake this great whirlwind, storm, tempest is upon you. So I know why it's there, because I'm running away from God, and God doesn't want me to go. And so God isn't going to let me get away. All I can suggest is throw me overboard and get rid of me. And, of course, they did. And then verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous, there's your whirlwind, against them. You got to do it God's way, and Jonah has to be thrown overboard. Jonah gets thrown overboard, and all of a sudden, there's a great calm, and the storm stops. And Jonah has moved his residence from the deck of the ship to the inside of the belly of a great fish. And that's a new residence. And Jonah's still busy trying to work it all out, wonderfully so. Only God can do this. Now, so here's Jonah doing what he does. And there was a great calm. They had to, God, you, it all stopped. That's right, it just plain stopped. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to Job 38. And in Job chapter 38, remember, God is going to test Job. So God, you helped the Israel by a storm, Nebuchadnezzar, and you helped David, and you helped Jeremiah, and you encouraged them. And with a storm doesn't discouragement at all. Ice and snow and wind and rain, it isn't a problem. Nope. Hurricane, nope. Chapter 38, Job, verse 1. And the Lord answered Job, remember the 100 questions and all of that, ultimately here. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Now Job, now you could just imagine, here's Job. Job has got a terrible problem from head to toe. He gets plagued. He's trying to console himself. He lost his family, lost everything, lost his money, lost his herds, cattle, everything, camels and all of it. And now he's there, and God, now here he is sitting in a pile of dung, sitting there trying to be pacified, and here's the whirlwind, a big whirlwind. Now God, you're going to talk to him, it is. And then God's going to help him. And remember what you read in Isaiah 40, I hung the world in a circle of the world in the middle of space. And here's Job, would you forgot who I am? And Job had to be reminded over and over of the magnificence and the mercy of God, the majesty of God. Now, in chapter 38 and in verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. And Job was a joy, I wasn't there. Then why don't you give me some credit, said God. Why don't you give me some credit? And understand, I have a wonderful plan for your life, and I want to work it out, and you just have to let me. So God, how are you helping them? God, in the wonderful power, the wonderful movement of storm and the whirlwind, that's what you did. And you did that. Remember with kings, here's kings. Well, we'll do that one. First, Second Kings. Second Kings. And 2 Kings chapter 2. And you remember Elijah and Elisha. And in the process, Elijah and Elisha, and Elijah is about to finish his term of duty, ministry. And in the process, he is understanding God is going to do a wonderful thing. And remember, just think of Genesis 5 and that. And Enoch was so-and-so old, and Enoch looked to God and walked to God and walked with God. And the next thing, God took him. God just took him. Where did Enoch go? God took him. Now, here's Elijah. So, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah unto heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, here they're going to go down the out to do. Now, chapter and Elijah. So, we're going to go in a whirlwind. He knew that. Verse 10, 2 and 10. And he said, thou hast asked a hot. Remember, Elisha wanted no double the power that Elijah had, etc. And verse 10, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing, Elijah, to Elisha. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken up from thee. Now he believes. Did you ever see anyone else taken up, Elijah? Nope. But God said that's what he's going to do. If God said it, that's what he's going to do. And I am taken up from thee. Verse 10, it shall be unto thee, but if not, it shall not be. So, in other words, if you see me, go up. Otherwise, you may not see me. Verse 10, he said, thou hast asked a hard thing, etc. Nevertheless, if thou see when I am taken up, etc., it shall be so, etc. Verse 11, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And that's what he did. And God, you took him. You took him, just like that. Uh-huh. Elisha saw it, and therefore he was able to have granted his request for all of those miracles, etc., that he was going to do. Now, in the process, he saw him go up. Now, over, if you would please, why not? Over to 1 Thessalonians. And going up in a chariot, that's a pretty good trip. Chariot, fire, in the storm. I got to tell you, if you had to take a ride and you want to have it, I got to tell you, that has to be some trip. Wow. And remember, the Lord's going to come back. He and Moses are going to be at Mount Transfiguration up in the north there. And they're going to talk to Jesus on the Mountain of Transfiguration, Elijah and Moses. We don't know where. But God, Moses went up to the mountain and no one ever saw him again. No one ever saw Moses. We have no idea. Wow. We know he's somewhere. Well, forget that. Now, In the process, over to 1 Thessalonians, I started to say, and you know it, but I want you to catch the word again that in the light of that. 1 Thessalonians, if I can, in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, remember, Elijah's caught up, God, in a whirlwind, uh-huh. Now, so therefore, I'm going to look, verse chapter 4, it's all about the Lord's return, verse 16, 4:16. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and said, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, Paul, Peter, and all of them, get it resurrected. They're all going to get the same body at the same time, resurrected body, same as we are. They're all going to be prepared for getting the resurrected body. Then we which are alive, And we were alive and remain, shall be caught up together with him, with them in the air. So God has them all back there, and then we gather so that Peter, Paul, James, John, and you, big group, All together. Wow. Now God, you say it. Notice in verse 17, they shall be caught up together. And the word to be caught up is to be seized, snatched with force, with power, violently with force. To take up. It's used of wild animals grabbing a rabbit or something, and grabbing it. So God, how are we going to go up? Tiptoe through the tulips? Are we going to go up, you know, float? You think you're going to float? Float up? No. In the moment, you're going to be zapped up. And you don't even have time to say, wow. Wow. Now, God, are you going to do that? I am. God, are you able to do it? Absolutely. Therefore, God, here we are, over to, in closing. Well, and two things in closing real fast. Psalm 107. In Psalm 107. And you will note, remember now, wonderful psalm about God's mercy and grace. And I'm going to go to verse 20, 107:20. And he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his words with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep, out in the storm. You've been out in a storm. Boy, you live out there. Boy, have you seen, you don't see any storms here in the river. But boy, you go out in the ocean. Boy, can the storms be big. And they're big. And I know, my little drop. Because I've been in the ship on top of the deck, up in the front. And the waves are over the ship. I'm between the waves. And the waves, I look up like this at the wave coming at us. And the whole ship just stopped. And then start up again. And stop. And start up again. Waves. I think it. Now, if I was on a big aircraft carrier, I might have been happier. But hey, wow. Wow. Now, so here we are looking. And I want to get down quickly. And in verse 25, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, there's your little word, whirlwind, which lifted up the waves thereof. And God, you're going to make the stormy wind, etc. And verse 27, and they reel to and fro and straggle like the drunken man, and they are at the wit's end. Verse 28, and then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, the sea was very troubled, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. And he maketh the storm, there's your little word, a calm. He quiets it. And all the storms get quiet. You just have to wait, and they quiet down. Now, God, what about your storms in our life? Mark chapter 4. So here we are looking, God, and whirlwind, and you use them all different wonderful ways. And here's the Gospel of Mark, picking up in chapter 4, please, and reminding ourselves in verse 38. Remember now, they go out to sea, God sends them out, and in the process, verse 37, and there arose a great storm, 4:37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship, that it was now full. And he was in the hinder, back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we are perishing? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? What's the storm got to do? What are you worried about a storm for?
Because all these things could happen. Only if I want them to. Only if I wanted to. So all the storms come. Now, either you're going to trust me or you don't. Why didn't you trust me? You didn't have to wake me up. You didn't have to wake me up at all. Well, you could have just said, He's with us, God. God take care of us. They didn't do that. They said, we're going to sink. And God said, there's no way to sink. No way. God, you send the whirlwind and the storm in a most awesome way. All kinds of storms. And God, we want to look for you in them. We want to look for your grace. And it isn't, why did this happen to me? But what are you after, God? What do you want me to learn in this? Right? Why? No. What do you want me to learn in the storm? In the storm. Wow.